The chestnuts are roasting on an open fire here in the Rebel Room, where Taylor Byrne and Ray Brewer are here to break down UNLV's 85-68 victory against California. We just came from the Thomas and Mack Center, Jerry Tarkanian Court, and Ray Brewer. That's the best first half, certainly since I've been on the beat for UNLV. That may be the best half of play that UNLV has put together this season.
Yeah, they look great, and clearly gave the 1,500 plus fans in attendance a little bit of a Christmas gift.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know what you thought going into the game. I did not know what to expect from the crowd, both in number and you know, just kind of what they would bring as far as energy. Because it's sort of a weird situation, a matinee, 2 p.m., right before Christmas. I didn't know if people would already be out of town. Whatever it was, like, it was
shopping, finishing shopping.
Yeah, it was a great crowd, and UNLV gave them reason to, like, get involved with the game early. And that's definitely the best environment at the MAC since I've been here.
Yeah, what I really like was the confidence they played with. I give you an example. You know, Chase Stanback has been great in the last two games, and I brought this up the last Rebel Room, but just his ability to catch and shoot is absolutely amazing for me, especially when you consider the Illinois game. It was like he wasn't even on the floor.
Yeah,
when he was on the floor. And for him to come back and have two great games, he's the leading scorer. He was the leading scorer last year. And just that confidence. I mean, even my man Bryce Masamba threw one home with 40,
yes,
baby.
Yes, it was.
Hey, confidence. It's a confident bunch.
It was absolutely. It's funny. You lead off with Chase Stanback, and he's like note four or five for me from this game. I mean, obviously, Anthony Marshall dominated. I knew how athletic he was, or at least had heard about it and had seen it a bit. But the way he just leaps out of the building, the alley-oop, it was at the opposite end of the court from us. I just kind of glanced over, and I was like, why is Belfield just throwing that away? And then just Marshall swoops in out of nowhere and finishes it. It was just amazing from the get-go. This Cal team, and it isn't really their MO. They're a little bit more of a slow down, but they tried to run with UNLV from the get-go. And I didn't understand that, because as soon as the Rebels saw what they were going to be able to do, it was just to the house. They ran them out.
Yeah, and it wasn't like Cal was like Louisiana Monroe, which UNLV steamrolled on Monday. Cal was they entered with 10 wins. They might be the best team in the Pac-12, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, and of course, lately that doesn't seem to mean very much. I mean, Pac-12, a lot of bad losses lately.
No doubt, but nonetheless, a respected well.
But they're a good team, and honestly, you know, they're playing without Solomon, one of their big men, and there's been rumors of like some flu going around the team, so they may not be at 100%. This is only their second true road game of the season, and so this is, you know, maybe I don't want to indict California or the entire Pac-12 based on this game, but certainly they didn't come to play the way that the Rebels did.
Definitely, and great guard play again. Belfield and Marshall played 34 and 33 minutes, respectively. My man Oscar Belfield, 11 points, 11 dimes. Anthony Marshall took the ball to the hole all night, 22 points, game high, 9 boards. If those two guys are on, I don't know as much about college basketball as I do some other things in this world, but I do know to navigate your way through tournaments in March, you need good guard play, experienced guard play. Belfield, a senior, Marshall, a junior, does that. Dude, I am so optimistic right now about this team.
I know you are.
13-2. I even wrote that I think they're going to win 30 games this year.
Before the game, you were very optimistic. And then I could tell that was only going to ramp up as it was going. Belfield, halftime, 9 assists, no turnovers. That's one of the most absurd stats I've seen in a while. I don't know how. They probably had two or three made baskets that he wasn't at the other end of. That's just amazing offense from UNLV just from the start. Rice had said, you know, this team played spectacular for 35 out of 40 minutes. Well, you know, if you're a coach, you it's easier to find those nitpicky things. But from a fan's perspective, from where I was sitting, that was just an amazing UNLV team. I mean, just a great game from them.
Well, and you're right. A victory by, what, 17 points?
Mm-hmm.
Could have been 25 points if it weren't for a 5-minute down spurt there late in the second half. But listen, the game was kind of already in the bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Players about to get 2.5 days off. They're trying to, you know, I'm sure they're thinking, okay, got to catch a plane, got to get in a car, got to do this.
A lot of them, they were even tweeting while I was still, you know, in traffic trying to come back to the Las Vegas Sun headquarters. They were tweeting, all right, at the gate, ready to board. I was like, how did you guys get out of there so quick?
How did you get to the airport? I'm sitting here right now in construction.
And what if they had overtime? What would they have done?
Yeah.
But they made sure there wasn't going to be that.
Yeah. And, I mean, just a balanced effort. Quantrell, 4 of 8, 8 points in 15 minutes with 6 boards. You can't complain there. Bryce had that big play, 8 points in 19 minutes. Mosier, 14 points in 25 minutes with 8 boards. Stanback, again, 15 points. Balanced effort. Team's looking great.
There was at least like one highlight for, you know, everybody that played at least like 5 minutes today.
Kendall Walls taking that charge.
Yes,
right?
See, exactly. Yes, that's exactly what
I was talking about.
He
probably heard me say that he was a defensive liability. Now all of a sudden he's cutting into lanes.
He's rising to the challenge.
Throwing his body out and a great effort. Rebel Room post-game edition, just looking ahead. They obviously have a break next week. Central Arkansas, a layup slam dunk, easy victory. Then they go to Hawaii for the New Year's Eve game, which, by the way, is now on TV, they announce.
Yep.
And then they got Bakersfield, and then they get, like, what, 11 days off or so many days off?
I think it's 9 days. I think it's the 5th to the 14th.
I can't add, of course. And and then it's San Diego State.
Yeah. And, you know, post-game nobody would say, oh, yeah, we're looking forward to that game. You know, it's always game at a time. But Rice did kind of allude to, you know, like, we're aware, they, you know, this is him saying, we're aware of how big, you know, that is, how tough that is for opening the conference. And while the team's ultimate goal is, you know, NCAA tournament success, that's what everybody wants, they still take a lot of pride and put a lot of their hopes into regular season conference championships. And so, and that, you know, that's not going to be easy starting out with at San Diego State.
Yeah, and both teams will likely only have 2 losses for that game. San Diego State seats, I think, about 10,000, maybe a little more. And those students go absolutely crazy. One of my favorite songs, pregame songs, the I Believe song.
Yeah, I'm not familiar
with
that.
No way. One kid stands up, and he's like, I! And all the other kids yell, I! And then the kid's like, I believe! And then the other kids are like, I believe.
Oh,
is
it that we will win?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a soccer chant.
Whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
There's a debate about where that started, but a lot of people think the San Diego State students started that.
Oh, if they did, then credit to them, because all of them, like the Sporting Kansas City, when they had their little playoff run, every soccer fan I knew back there, that's what they were tweeting, that's what they were saying. And my roommate told me it's just a common soccer phrase. So
yeah. Well, I think it was San Diego State basketball that started it, but it's awesome. It's my favorite. I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. Like, I would get in the ring with Floyd Mayweather if I had 2,000 kids yelling that before I could get out there.
That sounds intriguing. I might be able to set that up. I would like, you know, if I promise these kids what they're about to see.
Yes.
If you're ready for the best 10 seconds of boxing action, then you can see Ray Brewer get knocked out.
But Banana Peel Brewer, no shirt, I'm going in there and getting Pretty Boy
Floyd. Did you give yourself that nickname or did somebody else?
Well, listen to this. When I was at UNLV, I was a huge
a humble grad, Las Vegas resident, lifelong. Not that you would know that from listening to this.
Picking them to win 30 games, yes. I had a thing for, I liked boxing, and I like bought boxing videos out of boxing magazines and was watching old tapes, and I had this dream that I'd be like a tackling dummy or the guy that, you know, you got to fight a few of those 4-round fights, and you fight a guy that's like 4-82.
Yeah.
I'd be that
that's
guy.
That's what you wanted to be.
I'd be the guy. I'd pick up like $400 or $500 a fight, let people build their record, and I was like, I got to get a nickname, and somehow I came up with Banana Peel Brewer because you don't want to kind of slip up against me to get your career going.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. Letting people into my life. So that's where it all starts. But back to the Rebels. They obviously didn't slip up against Cal. The Hawaii game is entertaining for me. Obviously,
me too.
Yeah. obviously, a little bit further of travel than they're used to. They're not exactly world beaters on the road. And the confidence that we talked about could it turn into complacency? Do you see them possibly having some troubles against a Hawaii team that is not that good at all, but still tough to win there, a lot going through their head on New Year's Eve?
And the travel is sort of the biggest thing, because we've seen this team on the road, like you said, not, you know, very inconsistent, not always showing up at the beginnings of games. The difference here is I think you can sleep through the first 10 minutes against Hawaii and still be in the game, still have a chance to come back. So if that's their only problem, I think you can overcome that. Talking about the complacency, I haven't seen anything to indicate that's going to be or could be a problem from this team. But that's what any team that has to deal with success, that's something you got to worry about. That's something you got to know, you know, how to overcome. And this team, you know, probably doesn't really have the experience from that. I mean, maybe in an assistant like Stacey Augman, maybe he can tell them about, expectations and how to deal with the world on your shoulders. But really, you know, I'm not sure who else they have that has as much experience with that. So that maybe could be an issue, but I don't think two games from now. I think that would be something. If they would go to San Diego State and win by 18, then I think that's something that the heads might get real big.
If they go to San Diego State and win by 18, I'd be shocked.
Oh, of course. No, do not mistake that for a prediction at all. I'm saying a scenario in which I could see, you know, ego or complacency being an issue is an unexpected big win like that.
Okay, they have 17 regular season games left. In 15 of those 17, they'll be the betting favorite. They won't be favored first league game at San Diego State. They won't be favored in February at New Mexico.
Most likely. Again, you're getting so far ahead. What if New Mexico tanks between now and then?
New Mexico hasn't been great, by the way, this year, but tough to play in the pit.
Yeah.
Extremely.
The idea holds. They will be favored in most.
I mean, what could UNLV eventually, and don't kill me or stone me for being optimistic, could they be a top 10 team this year?
No.
Okay. Even if they beat San Diego State.
Well, are you saying they could? Of course, they could get ranked.
Yeah.
Top 10. Okay.
Ranked.
Yeah.
Could they be ranked in the top 10?
There are so many scenarios where that could happen, because all they would have to do is win some games and then a bunch of other teams lose.
Could they be ranked higher than your alma mater?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, see, that one, I'd say that to like Kiefer or some of the other people that used to work, because we've this big pro Kansas office.
Yeah.
Oh, Kansas is great, you know. Blah, blah,
oh, they certainly could.
God created basketball, then they created KU and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, take it easy.
Yeah, and I don't know the schedule, but Kansas could certainly lose to Missouri, Oklahoma, or things like that. But, yes, I don't think that we've seen from UNLV that they are a top 10 team, but they could get ranked there. And then you talk about the complacency again. You know, would that be an issue? But
go figure. For as bad as they looked at Wisconsin, we're talking 30 wins and maybe being
well.
Up
you're talking.
I'm talking. Maybe I'm the only one. But listen,
hey,
it
maybe,
has to be brought up.
Maybe they'll prove you right. It could be.
I'm feeling optimistic today.
Today. All right. That's going to do it for the Rebel Room. For Ray Brewer, I am Taylor Byrne. Have a happy holidays, and we'll see you back here next week.